Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Live from the 6th and Peabody Studio and across the OutKick Network, this is OutKick 360 with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharsky.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Second hour is here. Friday edition, big college football weekend and NFL. Glad you're with us. 6th and Peabody is our location. Yeehaw Beer, Old Smoky Moonshine, the entire OutKick crew making it happen, as always, doing a fantastic job. Let's see, we have the Raiders coming to Nashville this weekend to take on the Titans.
Oh, we got bigger news than that, though.
Go ahead.
Just breaking right now from Front Office Sports. Taylor Swift expected to be the Super Bowl halftime performer.
Jonathan Hutton called this the moment that was off.
This is a no-brainer.
She's the one that, you know, in terms of star,
the biggest person who hadn't done it.
Yeah, that hasn't
Apple,
done it.
Apple is now sponsoring this through the NFL. It's the Apple halftime show. And within less than 24 hours, they've announced that Taylor Swift is the act. They have tried to get her in years past, but her deal with Coca-Cola.
Pepsi.
Her deal with Coca-Cola.
It's the NFL deal with Pepsi.
That has kept her from partnering with the NFL and Pepsi on the halftime show.
It's silly to have a deal with Pepsi, which they no longer have.
Well, it's not silly if you're paying the money that Pepsi was paying.
I agree. Coke should have had that.
I mean, they're actually, Pepsi's being ridiculed for giving it up through like the big business, sports business magazines, and they're shocked that Pepsi just threw the towel on it.
I would take money from Mr. Pibb if they were paying that kind of money. Doesn't matter the product.
Tastes better than both. Hutton, that's props to you because you called that one.
Well, they have been trying.
The moment that Pepsi was out of that.
She'll knock it out of the park, too.
Yeah, she'll be terrific.
By the way, Fox has the Super Bowl. This is great for everybody.
We'll be interviewing her.
Let's go.
On Radio Row.
Yeah. You think we'll get Taylor on
Nashville Connection?
What slot do we want her? Wednesday.
Sorry, Taylor. We only have the 4 o'clock hour open on this
Wednesday
day.
Wednesday at 4.
Have I told you guys what, and Chad, you were probably in the building at the time. Maybe not. No. We were all with Cumulus at the time, but they did a. So we were at the old studio.
Oh, I do remember.
They
the
renovated.
Story.
So Kix Brooks told me this. We were at the old studio. Kix Brooks and his American Country Countdown is in our old Titans Radio studio here in Nashville. Renovated it to the nines. I mean, it looks phenomenal now. And Taylor Swift was coming through because they did a New York broadcast out of that studio. But they treated it like it was in New York. It was strange.
Blair something?
Yeah, yes. Yeah. And so Taylor Swift came in to promote the new Red album, I believe is the name. Nothing in the room other than Red or whatever you were wearing was allowed. So, but in the rider itself, there were M&Ms. There had to be a bowl of M&Ms, just Red M&Ms, which were not touched, by the way. I asked all these different candies, Red only. It was just for camera content, not for anything else.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a look thing. That's fine. Some of the rider stuff gets ridiculous. I know we've talked about this. Oh. Most bands put like one small thing in the rider to be able to check their people check on it to make sure that they're paying attention to the rider.
But can you imagine being so detached from reality that if you're Taylor Swift and you actually cared?
I don't even know if she's the one who cared. It was someone in her
group
that cared.
Oh, that's my point. Like, but there are stars that would care.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's way more about management and about creative consultants and producers and everyone else. But just imagine a world, and this world exists, where Taylor Swift would actually be upset if she walked in for a 5-minute interview and saw something that she didn't like a green M&M.
There are more celebrities like that than not, I fear.
It's crazy.
You know, that's why you don't want to meet your heroes because of things like that. And I don't even know if Taylor was the one that was, you know, a stickler over it.
Well, we know she was very nice in the early stages. David Reed, our former producer, met her. I think she made him cookies.
Yes.
When she came to the radio station for an interview.
Hit us up on Twitter at Outkick360. Guys, we've got a big game here in Nashville between two 0-2 teams because the loser is done. I've made up that Raiders.
I'm going to object to the loser is done thing. I know you're not satisfied with playoff berth, but Titans could lose this game and make the playoffs.
It has turned into some soft, pampering of this organization that they can make the playoffs somehow after there has been a build to Super Bowl aspirations. All of a sudden, the objective and the goal has just been to be the seventh seed.
Well, I'm not saying it's satisfactory, but you're not done, quote unquote, done week three if you go 0-3 if you ultimately make the playoffs, which is a viable scenario for the Titans because the other teams in their division also suck. Raiders, if they lose this game, are done. Titans, if they lose this game,
are they winning? Are they a Super Bowl contender today?
No.
And if they lose, they're absolutely not.
Well, I'll say this.
If they win, they're not either.
That's fair too.
Paul, you're not technically done in that your season continues and you could make the playoffs.
There's still some interest to your season.
Any chance of meeting expectations ends on Sunday.
I agree.
It
might have already ended.
You could win a terrible division at 9-8 or 8-9.
It could be
in this division, right? I mean, that could still happen, but I think lose on Sunday and any chance of meeting any standard that the fan base would put out before the season is over.
Yeah.
It ends.
It may be over even with a win. I mean, we'll have to wait and see time.
It may not happen. I'm not going to say it's over. If they win, it's not over.
No.
But it may not happen either way.
Here's what the Titans have.
0-3 to me means so much more than 0-2.
The Titans are down to Rashad Weaver and Derek Tuska as their healthy and available edge rushers. Danico Autry will have to play outside. Joe Jones, who's not that good of an inside linebacker, played some outside linebacker, but we know that Harold Landry was lost for the season before the season. Bud Dupree is out as of today. Most teams don't have a great third edge rusher. The Titans certainly don't. Hopes are high for Rashad Weaver, but hopes are high for Rashad Weaver as a third, not as a first.
Yeah.
And look, this team is not deep. The Raiders also are not deep. That's kind of the hope here is, bad depth versus bad depth. We're waiting on Hunter Renfrow.
I don't think he's playing.
Yeah, he's got a concussion. They'd be wise to sit him even if he was cleared. Guys like that, smaller receivers with concussions, tend to get re-concussed quickly.
They're not expecting him to play.
Did he get the concussion on the last hit on the fumble?
Yeah.
It was a crazy thing because it's like his body was concussed. He got hit so hard in the chest. And it flung him forward, but I didn't see head impact on the play. They got lit up.
The Raiders feel a lot like the Titans in a way where they should be 1-1 at worst because of they led 20-0 at halftime. But even in overtime, where they fumbled, they could have easily just kicked the field goal with Carlson.
Yeah.
And it was returned for a touchdown, the game was over.
I think at least they've got we're a new regime, bringing in new people, all of that stuff. I don't think they've made the wisest decisions. They're doing that thing where they go and sign or trade for a bunch of Patriots to bring in their guys, and they're not necessarily great. Mm-hmm. They've stripped out, I think, too many of the guys from the old regime who, sure, you don't like them, but you can minimize their roles, and they're still better than people you're going to find to replace them.
You're mentioning
Leatherwood. You ease those out in a couple of years. They've got a starting guy on their offensive line who was Leatherwood's backup in college. that's pretty direct line there. But Derek Carr's not going to be rushed very well in this game, and the Titans secondary has been horrific. Christian Fulton looks like he'll be back. That should help. But you can't feel good about the Titans this weekend in Nashville based on the direction they're going and the people that they'll be missing and the way Derrick Henry's gotten started and the weak offensive line the Titans have.
It's just so amazing to me, Paul, how quickly the objective has turned from, they're winning the AFC South, to, they're making the playoffs, to, you still believe in this team, they're a playoff team. You want to make the playoffs. But in the tier, the stair step, they're being compared more to the Detroit Lions, who are hopeful to make the NFC playoffs as a mediocre to average team this year. That's not where we had them. And all of a sudden, based on expectations within 3 weeks, I feel like it's almost a check mark if they make the playoffs, and that should not be the case.
Well,
they should be held to higher standards than that as an organization based on what they've accomplished the last 4 years.
I get what you're saying, but I wasn't in the same place. I thought that they would probably be the fourth seed in the AFC playoffs and lose immediately on the
so a fourth seed, they're winning their division.
Right. I thought they'd be the worst division winner. I still think they're going to probably be the worst division winner, largely because the Colts look to have even worse problems than I imagine, just like the Titans do. I think Tannehill's not a playoff quarterback, and they're going to fail in the playoffs just like they have. So I think they're going to wind up in the same place just with a much worse regular season record. I don't think it's acceptable.
I mean, the general manager was crying at the combine. And all of a sudden, it's just okay if they make the postseason.
Well, I'm not okay with it. I think that they didn't do enough personnel-wise.
Because he cares enough based on how they ended the season last year with what they went through. And now all of a sudden, it's just like, man, Vrabel's going to make the playoffs and we believe in the system. The system isn't working.
I was out on it when they made the A.J. Brown move. I thought that was the beginning of the fail.
That's the weird thing about all this. You had the emotional GM talking about losing and failing in front of that home crowd in the playoff game.
Two straight
years. At the combine. And then you fast forward from that to draft night trading one of your two or three most important players. So how does that make you better?
Not even that. Let's just describe it as this. They traded one of the players that embodies everything that they describe in the player that they want.
If you want to make the argument if you want to make the argument that if you make that move, we're going to be better right now because of this, then show it or at least explain it. But that's just a weird – you know what it is to me? It's a guy getting emotional because he knew they just missed every chance they've had.
It's also a guy getting emotional, quite frankly, because it plays well. John Robinson's really well-liked in this market, and when it's not fake, but when he does that, he knows people will love it.
It's not fake.
I'm not saying it's fake.
That was a month and a half before they traded A.J. Brown, too.
I feel like
you need to get over that and get to work at the combine.
Well, I feel like that's...
Also, Kyle Phillips is doubtful now.
Okay.
In addition to all of this stuff.
They're probably better off there based on how he returns punts.
Yeah.
Well, he's one of their better receivers. He can't return punts. Let's talk about that for a second. Kyle Phillips can't be put back there to return punts, all right? The options, Treylon Burks. You can't get Treylon Burks hurt. I'm playing the hurt game now.
Yep.
You can't get Robert Woods hurt. You can't get Amani Hooker hurt. The depth at receiver is very poor, and Amani Hooker, the depth behind him is very poor. I mean, I don't like Mason Kinsey, but I would call up Mason Kinsey just to catch damn punts and get you 4 yards. What do you do at punt returner if you're Tennessee?
The fact that they name Kyle Phillips the starter week two of the preseason, and they don't name anyone starters in preseason, the fact that we're even discussing this is a major whiff. I want to blame the shoulder injury, but it's more than that because it's two consecutive weeks.
Yeah, he didn't have the shoulder injury the first week.
Guys,
it's a disaster.
Looking at the Power Five conferences across college football, here are your unbeaten teams. And let's just go rapid fire here as we will transition to college here to begin hour number two. In the SEC, Alabama, Georgia, Kentucky, and Arkansas are all unbeaten going into what we see right now as the last unbeaten teams. Guys, is it Alabama or Georgia? Last year I would have said Bama.
No, we're not including Tennessee in this list of unbeaten.
Well, we should. Yes, it's not listed. Yes, we should put Tennessee. But Chad, you bet Florida, so I didn't include that.
Yeah, okay. He skipped high.
I'm sorry. I'm looking ahead a week. Last year, I would have told you that Alabama and Georgia were going to meet in the SEC championship game as unbeaten. I would double down on that right now for both teams.
You know, I feel great about Georgia. I don't feel great about Alabama.
They win.
They are
tight
a team
games.
That every year under Nick Saban, though, what you would say about Alabama is they are so damn talented and they will never beat themselves. So they will just systematically dispatch of every team that's good because they're never going to commit penalties, turnovers, things that will beat themselves. I don't buy that now for a second straight year. They are a team that is mistake prone.
Well, they lost last year, to your point, by doing that at A&M.
Now, they still may be talented enough to win every game, Yeah. You know, and be there.
I think they're well coached enough to win every game, even granted, when they make
but
those mistakes.
I'm just not as I feel like these mistakes will eventually catch them.
So it's Georgia
against a good team,
hands down.
But they should have lost to Texas, and they found a way to win.
Yeah, it's hands down, you know, Georgia to me. But again, being close to Texas for Alabama, as crazy as this sounds to every other fan of college football, is a loss for them.
But that's
because
how they make
it to the playoffs.
But it's
fundamentally
still a win
sound
for everybody else.
Nick Saban football with their talent, they're winning by 3 touchdowns.
But this year was Texas. Last year, close against LSU, close against Florida. I mean, there were others.
They
lost A&M. They win the tight games. They find a way. Bryce Young is very just calm in the moment, and he makes the play in the fourth quarter to help them win.
Well, I'm not sure what the question is. I'm just saying
last unbeaten team. I think it's teams here.
They lost to Georgia for the national title. That's a loss for Alabama fans, not winning the national title.
Yeah.
So it's Georgia.
It was a rebuilding year, and they lost in the national
title.
It's
Georgia. Georgia looks to me like an even better team because their offense is a lot better. So I think it's hands down Georgia.
In the Big Ten, is it as simple as Ohio State or bust for the last unbeaten team?
No. I think Michigan has been very impressive against a bad schedule, and I think Penn State can compete. I've seen enough from them and Singleton, the stud freshman running back.
He's solid.
I think they could compete with both. It's Ohio State. I mean, if I'm handicapping it, they're certainly the one that's in the top. But I think both Michigan and Penn State will compete with Ohio State.
I want to see how Ohio State takes care of Wisconsin this weekend.
But, Hutton, to your question, it is Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State in that order. But I think it's closer than maybe we thought.
And we see Penn State Michigan match up in 2 weeks, I believe, and then a month from now is when they'll take on they'll host the Buckeyes.
I think it's Ohio State.
I mean, I just think Ohio State's going to be in the
better.
Title game. They should be.
They're number one to me in the conference, but I do think it will be closer than we think.
Chad, I want to say in the ACC it's Clemson here. They're starting the wrong quarterback for me to lean that way.
Well,
that's just a fact. The better quarterback's on the bench. They're being held back here.
This is difficult because Clemson does not have a 2022 offense right now. And what I mean by that is that the best teams, they are capable of putting 60 on you at any point. And that's across college football right now. Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, go down the list. Penn State just put up 41 at Auburn in a game. Clemson can't do that right now. They are not a good offense at all.
Yeah, it's 24-6 instead.
But I don't buy Wake Forest or NC State at all. I've never bought NC State. I don't think Wake Forest has the talent to really beat a Clemson or a top team in college football. So it's Clemson.
So
as much as I want to go with another team, it's Clemson.
There will be one remaining after this within the next 2 weeks because we have – Clemson, Wake Forest this week. October 1st, we get NC State hosting Clemson in a game they've had circled for a year.
Yeah, it's Clemson.
Well, scheme can only get you so far.
I'm taking NC State. I'm doubling down on it.
Dave Clawson's got a great scheme, and it can only get you so far. NC State just never been a big believer. I think from a talent standpoint, NC State has the best chance at challenging Clemson. But it's Clemson's conference.
So in the Pac-12, it's USC and Washington. To me, USC is one of the last two unbeatens remaining when we get to mid-November.
I think USC's a playoff team.
When do they play Utah?
I think that they have been a lot better, a lot quicker.
For sure. They play at the end
than I thought.
The championship game.
They also play in Salt Lake City coming up at some point this year. I know they have a game on the road at Utah, but I think USC is the best team in the Pac-12 from what I've seen so far. They've got a test coming up, you know, at Oregon State this week. I don't think you can dismiss Oregon based on how they played against BYU.
Their offense looks okay.
They have the guys. I mean, if we're just talking talent, it is USC, Oregon, Washington, Utah. If you're looking at ranking,
USC is at Utah.
It's in that order.
USC is at Utah October 15th.
Yeah, I knew it was sometime in October.
So with
I'm taking USC, though.
In regards to Oregon, though, they have Bo Nix. And with him, it is a roller coaster season.
Well,
we saw that at Auburn.
They have such a specific route to success, which is running the ball very effectively and Bo Nix being a part of that running game and then spotting some big pass plays. And that's just not going to get it done against the very best.
Right.
It's Oregon.
In America. You can't. We saw what that was against the very best in America.
I just think Oregon's schedule. I don't love Bo Nix, but Oregon, they host Washington on November 22nd. That's the first big game.
In the Big 12, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. I want them unbeaten when they meet in November.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it'll be the end of Bedlam.
Is that the always final neutral?
Oh no. No, it'll be at a campus. I'm not sure which one, but that's always rotating on campuses. I like Oklahoma. I like what I saw against Nebraska, albeit maybe one of the five worst Power Five conference schools in Nebraska. But I like what I've seen from Oklahoma so far. I think Baylor's got a chance to still be relevant in this race. I'm not seeing a lot more outside of that. That's I don't think Oklahoma. Iowa State's as good. Kansas is a nice story. They're not going to compete for a conference title. So I like Oklahoma.
November 19th, and then you mentioned Baylor. Baylor will play. They host Oklahoma State in 2 weeks.
I'll go Baylor. I'll stick to my guns. I won't hedge on this one. I'll take Baylor.
I think it comes down to Georgia and USC as the last two unbeaten in college football.
Yeah. Georgia's pretty damn good. I'll go Georgia.
Until I see something else, I just think it's everyone's playing Georgia sport right now. They're that good.
Now, you can also say they're playing a different sport.
Yeah, there are also a few. And Georgia's schedule is pretty weak to be an SEC schedule, quite frankly.
Well, wait until you see next year's schedule.
But going back to Clemson and why
the
I just don't.
Schedule's ridiculous.
I don't believe in Clemson and Oregon. I said there's a very specific route to where they're going to have success against good teams, and it has to work out this way. We don't ever say that about Georgia or Ohio State, because every time Ohio State lines up in a shotgun, they could do any number of things to defeat you thoroughly on that play, right? The
Even
options are unlimited.
Even on fourth and one, when you want to sneak.
They can hand it off to one of their great running backs. They can throw it deep. They can get a screen pass that's going to beat you. The best teams in college football. Alabama's the same way. The best teams in college football, you can say that about.
I think a football ticket, Hutton, part of what you pay for, no matter how big a fan you are of the home team, a little bit of it is about who's coming in. That Georgia home football season ticket next season is 100% about the dogs. We'll talk about it more, but you look at who's coming in to Georgia next year, there's like zero interest in the opponent.
Let me say this about our game of the week also between Tennessee and Florida. I would describe Tennessee's offense as the exact same way. They can beat you any number of ways every time they snap it. That they have one of the best offenses in the country. Now, they don't have the athletes on defense that Georgia and Alabama has right now, but if you're looking at best teams in the country, which Vegas does, and we said they have Tennessee fifth, I think it's for that reason. Because they can just beat you so many ways offensively, running, passing vertically, passing horizontally. There's a lot of things they can do.
Coming up, we preview the NFL's top games of the weekend, and then later this hour, Paul's money line props to make you some money based on Sunday's matchups. It's all straight ahead on Outkick 360.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Top Sunday games for the NFL, just based on intrigue here. Not record, intrigue.
Intrigue.
In week three.
The intrigue rating.
Either the Titans or the Raiders are in big trouble. I think it's more of an emphasis on Vegas winning this game because of their division and the fact that the Titans are going to wrap up their series with the Colts by, I believe, October 23rd. The Colts will have wrapped up their two games with the Jags and the Titans by either October 23rd or October 30th. It's one of the two. So they're done with two-thirds of the AFC South opponents before November even rolls around. It's crucial for the Titans, but I think it's more of an emphasis on the Raiders at 0-2, where we have two desperate teams. The Raiders, by the way, favored by two on the road here in Nashville.
Titans can't cover, and now they can't rush. Bud Dupree's out. Harold Landry's
can't
out
cover,
for the season.
Can't rush. Let's continue. that means you have to score. They can't score.
Can't score. Their running game can't get going, and they're keyed around that. The running back doesn't look good. The offensive line's terrible.
Success,
but at least they have no explosive receivers.
I've been asked about this a lot this week. What do the Titans have to do and all the issues? It's very simple. It's Derrick Henry or bust. And I have been shouting this from the rooftops all offseason. It is Derrick Henry or bust. The offensive line is terrible. Henry has not been good to begin. They have to get him going, or they're losing this game.
He runs in a sand pit a lot during training camp practices. He looked like he was running in a quicksand pit in Buffalo.
Yes, he did. Chad, your vibe of this game.
So, do you guys remember the last time the Titans matched up with Devontae Adams?
I do.
Was that 44-14 game?
Very cold night in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
I was there.
If I remember.
During COVID.
Sunday night game.
I was there as well.
There was no
and
crowd.
I remember just marveling at the footwork.
It was a beautiful scene.
Devontae Adams
took a selfie out in the
just
stand.
Churning up the Titans left and right with his footwork and his route running. Now, he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers throwing to him in this game, but Derek Carr's not bad. He's not been very good.
He has his college quarterback throwing
so far this season. Devontae Adams is about to terrorize this Titans defense and their defensive backs and their lack of any pass rush with the guys they have injured. I think the Titans season.
It's going to be a long season.
The Titans season is officially into it's going to be a long season territory on Sunday.
You know, if you have a Titans membership site, that's not a good thing.
No, we.
Well. Well, or it could be because people can
go.
But
Paul, you want extremes. Like I think apathy in the middle is the worst thing for you.
No, Ken Wisenhunt would have been the worst thing.
Well,
for
someone with a Titans pay site like yourself, if it's really bad, it can also be good.
If it's bad in a season where it should not be bad.
Well, here's where
they come for explanation for a while. Then they lose.
But here's the problem: where it's really bad when you know no one's getting fired. That's not good for you.
No one's getting fired.
When it's really bad and there's someone getting fired, you know what it is. You can start speculating.
No one, Todd Downing's not getting fired?
I don't think so.
Well, let's
Craig Aukerman?
No.
Craig Aukerman, I have said. I said this on my pod. I think Craig Aukerman's going to outlast Mike Vrabel, and I think Mike Vrabel's going to be here for 10 years.
That's hilarious. So let's take a step
he
back.
He may be the next head coach.
Todd Downing.
Could be.
Todd Downing was a big emphasis last year on why they didn't accomplish more when they were healthy, early on and then postseason. And I realize they had to dumb it down due to injuries. But now they have Tim Kelly, the offensive coordinator.
Not seeing it.
The offensive coordinator they wanted to interview, but the Texans would not give them permission before they hired Todd Downing.
You're not seeing the influence. We saw the Jim Schwartz influence on Shane Bowen. Now, he got personnel, though. Downing hasn't gotten personnel, but we're not seeing Tim Kelly's fingerprints.
Jim Schwartz doesn't even qualify here because they actually gave Tim Kelly a title and they allowed the guy to speak to the media. So beyond that, to me, you'll see the influence when they fire Todd Downing because the offense continues to sputter against opponents they should be scoring against.
I think well before that, they would just give him the play calling behind the scenes and not say anything.
Next week is a massive game for both the Colts and the Titans. Win or lose this week?
Massive.
Huge for jobs in the
Colts,
coordinators.
Colts
and
are
huge
losing
for
this
Colts.
Week. Colts are playing the Chiefs. I don't know if that's on this list, but that's
going
to be a blowout also.
If the Colts get blown out by the Chiefs,
which they will.
It is a pink slip game next week. And not for the Titans coaching staff. It is for the Colts.
I think it was a pink slip game last week.
It's
should have been last year.
By the way, we're not going to talk about it because it's not one of the best games of the week, but there's a pink slip game going on in Auburn this weekend, too, between Missouri and Auburn.
For
Brian Harsin.
That's happening, but it's not happening this week.
Probably
not
this week,
good.
But if Missouri looks awful and gets whipped by a just downtrodden Auburn program, the clock is ticking. We're looking at Eli Drinkwitz in a very different way moving forward.
And if Auburn loses to Missouri, Harsin could be gone by Monday.
Well, keep in mind, Missouri got whipped by Kansas State, who just got beat by Tulane.
Let's discuss Bills and Dolphins. And
back
and
to the NFL.
We tie in the top, to me, the top game of the week here.
This is a great game.
Paul, with your discussion of McDaniel, and he's tying in all things with run game, pass game. First-time coordinator, run game coordinator in San Francisco and for Kyle Shanahan. And he's showing video of Allen Iverson.
I love the idea of a coach going outside of football and using examples. I also love the idea that he, his players or guys who've worked under him before are willing to talk about it. I don't think he hears this from a former player and is discouraged about it. This is I'm forgetting who it is. Play it and we'll tell you.
He wouldn't show us film of like football releases. He would show us Allen Iverson film. And he would say a release. The reason why a basketball crossover is so effective because they have to show you every part of their body moving in one direction before they cross over, right? There's no rush to it. And he would teach us, we'd be at practice and we'd be doing crossovers. And so have you ever seen the clip of Stephon Diggs doing his release and he's faking like he has a basketball in a football game? Mm-hmm. That's where that comes from. And so he would break down basketball tape for us to show us how to implement it in a game, and it worked.
That's Andrew Haskins, who played for McDaniel when he was with the Browns.
Okay.
I think that's brilliant coaching.
Mike McDaniel, to me, is fascinating because he's very unassuming. He's been kept in the shadows to some extent, although during the 49ers playoff run last year, they were allowing him to speak to the media because I believe Shanahan thought he could get some interviews, right, postseason.
Helped him tremendously.
And that propelled him in a year where Miami wanted a certain tier of coach, and they end up bringing back Tua and pairing him with Mike McDaniel on a second or third interview. Everyone thinks this guy is going to fail because they don't really know him, and he's a history major from Yale. And I think he could hit a home run here because they have gone all in on everyone except the head coach and the quarterback. And because of that, the head coach and the quarterback are going to look great. They brought back the defensive staff from last year, so it's not like they have a new defensive coordinator. The same guy's back. And so they're running the same system, and they've brought in three new running backs. Tyreek Hill paired with Waddle. They've moved Gesicki around. Gesicki complained a bit about it, I believe, in the preseason.
Well,
but
more of a blocker.
But I've got him on my fantasy team, so I know he's producing. It's a very intriguing concept, given the fact that no one expected them to really do much because they whiffed in the offseason on who they really wanted, which was Deshaun Watson at quarterback because they tried to trade for him in November of last year, or late October. And they wanted Sean Payton. And we know that through the investigation that's gone on with Sean Payton and Tom Brady with ownership there.
I don't know if the Dolphins win this game, but I think they score in this game. Buffalo held the Rams to 10, the Titans to 7. I think the Rams are a struggling offense. I think the Titans are a bad offense. I think Miami's a good offense. I think Miami will score in this game.
I need to come up with a better Mike McDaniel impression. But he's got another great quote this week where he's just talking about his team handling success. And he said, I think in life we spend way too much time basking in the glow of victory or wallowing in self-defeat. And we just have to get past that and then just go on to the next task. But the way he delivered it and said it, I'm thinking, makes a lot of sense for this game with his team now at 2-0. I love the guy. I love what he's doing with Tua right now. This is a big time game.
I wrote about McDaniel in June about how I thought he was the most fascinating story that we were not talking about. And I tied it in with my column with Stetson Bennett in college. Because if you YouTube him, there are coaching seminars where he is there with McVay and Shanahan, and they're both sitting down. And I don't know what these coaches, high school coaches, college coaches, have paid to be there, right?
Yeah.
And there are familiar faces throughout the NFL and the media that are there as well from NFL films. And seeing those guys sit there and watching McDaniel on the mic go through film, you understand how he connects with players because he's telling you like, hey, if you were Deebo Samuel, I would be telling you this right now. making sure that you didn't do this again the following week. And then he goes through the whole thing, and he's setting you up for success instead of just throwing something against the wall and you're hoping it sticks. The fact that they're 2-0 and the fact that they came back in the fourth quarter is going to me, that's going to play out over the course of the season, McDaniel, in his favor, because now you know the guy. This guy may know more than what I thought he did whenever he took the head coaching job. He may be setting me up for success. He's been telling me that, and now what he's done is helping Tua, so it's going to help me. I'm going to trust this guy.
Small sample size.
That's very big.
Early indications are excellent.
Meanwhile, Buffalo is a different animal. But if they beat the Bills, we are talking next week about Miami, not just as a playoff contender. They're the opposite of the Titans. The Titans should be a Super Bowl contender this year, based on the trajectory.
But not based on the
Miami, team. Based on where they are last year and the years prior, should be a playoff contender. I think we swap the two next week based on results.
And if the Bills win this one, I mean, they're a really, you know, team of destiny type,
and they,
type
yeah, deal. And they've done everything perfectly to begin the season with two 12-win teams going down to them. Rams and Cardinals, I don't know about you. This is the first 3:25 kickoff we're going to preview. I think the Rams destroy Arizona. This is in Glendale on Sunday.
I agree. Cardinals, the good things they've done have been primarily improvisational, and you can only get so much of that. How many times is your quarterback going to get 21 seconds to run around 85 yards to gain
not
5 yards
but
or
we,
7 yards?
They were the last unbeaten team based on improv last year.
Yeah.
You know, so they can go on a roll with this, but the Rams, they
there's got to be
this
some
is a game
construct.
They go on the road and
there's
got to
be some
the,
construct.
The Cardinals had their number a couple of years ago and last year. And I know that San Fran's coming up for the. To me, this is the Rams should win this game on the road Sunday against a bad Cardinals team.
It feels like a get right game, even though both teams are 1-1, mm-hmm. and the Cardinals got right in a 20-point comeback in a win in Vegas last week. If I'm betting on someone to get it right, it's the Rams, from what I've seen so far. So I like the Rams.
Let me rewind briefly on the Bills. For as much praise as we gave them defensively, they're no Micah Hyde. He's been ruled out. Jordan Phillips has a sack and four quarterback hits through his first two games. He's out. Jackson, the corner who was
corner, yeah,
that very good.
He's
nickel.
Out,
knocked out.
Nickel.
And
yeah,
Ed Oliver
up.
Will miss his second consecutive game.
Yeah,
he's also out.
Dane
it's amazing, amazing that the Titans managed to injure anyone in that game with that offensive performance.
I know. Jackson hit his own player, I believe. Packers and Bucks. This is among my road upsets, underdog upsets. I'm taking Green Bay on the road in Tampa. Tight game. Green Bay's injury report isn't much better when you look at who has not practiced this week. But Tampa's down some top talent, and they're struggling offensively. Their defense is legit. They've allowed just 13 points so far.
I think the Bucs have been shockingly fortunate with their offensive injuries and lack of production. Like you're saying, the defense has carried them, but I don't know that they've faced Rodgers trying to find his footing here. I'm with you. I'm expecting the Packers to open things up and find some real production.
Already down Chris Godwin.
Mm-hmm.
Now Mike Evans suspended for the game. The Packers look good in this one.
How much are they getting out of Cole Beasley
after
a couple
of
days'
work? Their defense has been very good through 2 weeks. It feels fortunate because of who they've been lacking offensively, especially with the offensive line issues.
They've scored 20 and 19, I think.
Yeah, it catches up to them this week.
So their most dynamic receiver, people may laugh at this, is Scotty Miller this week.
Who's very much
Russell Gage and
four.
Rashad Perriman are also their top receivers to this point. Finally, 49ers-Broncos is listed, and for good reason. This is Sunday Night Football. Pivotal game for Nathaniel Hackett.
Chad's guy.
This has
it's not
been
pivotal
a,
for me. It's a, the dimes
yeah,
cast.
Yeah. To me, if the 49ers come in here with Garoppolo, because I think Garoppolo makes them better. Bosa's off to a defensive player of the year type start. He's been great. He had 19 and a half sacks if you count the playoffs. We do. We count the playoffs on the numbers. Phenomenal season, and he started where he left off. If they come in and disrupt the offensive line of Denver, and Russell Wilson is struggling to score points because they did that last week against Houston, and the 49ers come on the road and win this on Sunday night, Hackett, to me, could be a one-and-done type coach.
Yeah. Niners are going to come in there and roll. Hackett is a one-and-done type coach. He's a guy, I'm sure he's a nice man. Right now, it seems like his biggest quality is that he played really good ping pong with Aaron Rodgers and became buddies with him. And Aaron Rodgers talked him up to everyone. And he had two MVP seasons with Nathaniel Hackett coaching with him, coaching him, I say with air quotes. Niners.
Here's the thing about Hackett.
Give me the Niners bet.
Hackett was hired by the old owners and the team was sold right after that. So you're in a really precarious position because they're looking at him at every gaffe he makes.
He was really hired, though, by his GM.
Yeah,
right?
Every gaffe he makes, thinking like, hey, I got huge money, and there's some guys out there that I could go get at any price. I think, though, this would be tight. I like the Niners, but not big.
The difference in this, though, is just, to me, discipline, coaching.
What's happening outside our door right now, by the way, is just amazing.
The Broncos lead the league right now with 103 penalty yards per game through 2 weeks. If they do this, they're getting destroyed on Sunday night. Oh, Giants and Cowboys should have been listed here. This is a very intriguing game based on how the Giants have been playing and what Jerry Jones has said about the quarterback situation.
A lot of people are into Cooper Rush after one game.
We'll talk about what we just saw right outside our door.
Yeah, when we
return. We'll give you the full blow-by-blow. That was an amazing sequence.
And we have Paul's money line props.
They've been hitting.
Oh,
I'm on a streak.
We're rich because of Paul's picks on Fridays. Time to double up whenever we come back on Outkick 360.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
DraftKings, they got the props for you this Sunday, and PK's got your winners. Outkick 360 rolls on.
Here we go. We have won 3 of 4 for 2 weeks. That totals, gentlemen, 6 of 8.
That means I feel plus money.
I feel less good about this week. Greg Zuerlein of the Jets, +1.5 field goals at +110. Cincinnati gave up 20 points to Pittsburgh, 17 at Dallas. I think the Jets will score 2 touchdowns in this game. I'm going to give Zuerlein the benefit of the doubt that he's going to hit both extra points. +1.5 field goals at +110. Number two, Michael Pittman, who did not play last week for the Colts, +130 for an anytime touchdown. Look, they're playing the Chiefs. They are going to force the ball to their best guy. He's coming off this quad injury. He's got no injury designation this week. I think this one's very solid.
He's playing.
I feel great about this
today.
One. He is
Love
playing.
Love this one.
Number three, we're going kicker again, a little bit different. This question is basically, will the Dolphins score against, and this is PATs, those are points after touchdown, little s. This is kind of like the Chads without the apostrophe.
Yeah.
PAT, little s, not Pats like Patriots. Jason Sanders, the kicker for your Dolphins, will he have over 2.5 extra points? I say yes. That means I think the Dolphins are scoring 3 touchdowns against Buffalo. I think this is going to be more of a shootout game. This is +155. I like it. And finally, I went kind of into Hutton's territory here. San Francisco at Denver. I think Denver puts up a defensive fight in this game. I don't think it's particularly high scoring. I think the spread is only 1.5. I went into a band here. I think San Francisco wins this game by between 1 and 6 points. And if they do, it's +350. So these are the four. Zuerlein over 1.5 field goals. Pittman, anytime TD. Jason Sanders over 2.5 extra points. San Francisco to win by between 1 and 6. If I keep up my pace, 3 out of 4 of these will hit.
So I love them all except for the last one, because based on the way you're betting that, it's either the defense is stopping Russell Wilson or bust, because I don't think Garoppolo's driving the 49ers down for a game-winning drive. I think it's the defense that would come up with a play that would hold a lead against Wilson and the Broncos.
I'm just looking at it as a tight game.
Well, I immediately go to, okay, Sunday night football. Here we go. Final drive, chance to go down. Field goal wins it, right? 49ers defense.
Well, if a field goal wins it, hopefully it's San Francisco's field goal.
I will bet that because it's me betting against Nathaniel Hackett.
Yeah, and Hackett would be late to get a play call.
You like the other
three?
There's
a delay of game, 10-second runoff.
I love the Michael Pittman anytime touchdown.
Brent Hubbs joins us. We will preview the top game of the college football weekend, Tennessee and Florida in Knoxville. We head to Vault Quest next on OutKick 360.